Junkman with you guys doing a special Wednesday show today. I am honored, absolutely honored today to welcome our guest, somebody that we've wanted to be.
Oliver!
Can you guess? Can you absolutely guess? It's the Prince of Darkness himself, an old friend, Ozzy Osbourne. Welcome to KNAC.com.
Good to be here, sir. Good to be here.
So glad you could make it, man.
But the last time I came to the studio, it was in a different location, wasn't it? Long
right.
Beach.
Yeah, it was in Long Beach, which was the original radio station that
I was told that it pulled it up a long time ago.
Yeah, quite a while ago. How many years ago was that?
When
it went off the air. Was it? What was it?
February '95.
February of 95. Is when it went off, and then we went back on as a online radio station right after that. So,
how long have you been here?
We've been at this particular studio about 4 or 5 years. Hasn't it been something like that? Yeah, maybe longer than that.
Why haven't you asked me down before?
You're a hard man to find, man. You're a busy guy, an absolutely busy guy. You know?
I live out in Hidden Hills now.
Uh huh.
Because after the TV episode we had in my career, in the early part of the decade there. Was it 2001, 2002?
Oh, yeah.
It got kind of crazy around here. So
I would imagine.
So we kind of, you know, the tour buses used to come around and jump the wall, walk around the house. And crazy, man. People used to think they had the right to walk in your house, you know?
Exactly. Well, you got to throw a ham at them like your lovely wife did.
We went to Haddon Hill. I built my studio there, and I you know, did some work there. Uh-huh. I did a latest new album, Scream.
You've been so busy with that, too. Congratulations, too, on a great record, too. A brand new record.
Thank you.
Called Scream.
It took like 18 months to do it. Not continuous, because I did the book whilst I was doing the album.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went back to England to do some promotion. And then I came back to American promotion. Then I came back to the album. And it was like on and off, you know, but.
Yeah.
And it was basically done with me and Kevin Shirko, my producer in the studio of my house, which I thought was going to be an experience. It was.
Well, I imagine, yeah.
But it was a different way of doing albums than I usually do. I usually get the band rehearsing in some place,
right?
Get some songs going and go in the studio, and which I didn't do that on this album. It was kind of like a studio experiment.
Just did it in the studio itself as opposed to, that's great.
And the new guitar player, Gus G,
he's
working out great. I just hope people, when they come to the Oz Festival with the gigs, give him a fair crack of it. Because he ain't Zach. He isn't trying to be Zach, because no one can be Zach but Zach.
Absolutely. Well, he's Gus. I mean, we've been all about Firewind, his band, for years now here at KNAC.com. And I can't think of a better guy to play with you right now, man.
He's really good. The new drummer Tommy, I got.
Tommy Clu. How do you pronounce that? Clufados or Clufados?
Oh, I don't know. I just call him Tommy K.
Tommy K. Yeah. Well, there you go. Or Tommy C. You know. And he's a great drummer.
We just went to Europe and England and Europe. We did a few shows there.
Uh-huh.
A lot of fun.
You did a promotion here in Los Angeles too, which I saw your show at the House of Blues a couple weeks ago. The day the record was in. It was very interesting. You guys did the record release, and then fans that went and waited at the record store got to get a ticket to go see you that night.
There was a crowd because there ain't more record stores anywhere else, you know.
So you went to Amoeba Records in Hollywood and did that.
It's really sad to see that. I mean, in my lifetime, I've seen albums turn to CD, tapes to CDs, CDs to iPods, to no records.
Right. With no place to get them other than a great big store with a guy that doesn't know what he's talking about.
The way I made this album was all digital on a Pro Tools studio I have in my house, which is, I've had platinum disc, gold disc, and what over the years. I wonder what they'll do now when they sell a million records, but a platinum wire on the wall.
Probably something like that. You know, you just touch one button, your record's done after that, you know?
It's crazy. The fun's kind of gone. It's too clinical now, you know?
Is it really? I was going
to
ask you
about
that.
On the next album I do, it's going to be balls to the wall, you know?
Yeah, in terms of?
Studio stuff, like, for me.
You're going to do it old school style then?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely, huh? Well, you got the tour to go on with this. You brought back Ozfest again.
Oh, yeah. Well, people said, well, why only 7 shows or 6 shows, whatever it is? We took a couple of years off and seen, in those couple of years, there's been some more festivals born, you know?
Right.
So We didn't want to put like blanket the country, and I'd end up with like four cows and a parrot in the field, you know. And so
we got a great lineup, man. This lineup on this thing is amazing.
I mean, it's the first time me and Motley have been on the same stage since 1984.
And you'll be able to remember it this time about, I would imagine.
People forever say to you, oh, did you really snort a line of bands? It's very possible. It's whatever I snorted on that tour. I mean, it was a wild tour.
Was that the most, was that absolutely?
It's the most unmemorable, memorable tour.
So probably,
I mean, it was either me coming out of jail at 6 a.m. after being arrested for drunk in a public place, or one of them. I mean, I remember being in Memphis.
Right.
And I'd been in Benihana's. The last I remember was being in this Benihana's drinking sake out of a soup bowl. The next minute I know, headlights are flying past me, and I'm going, it's pitch black, and I'm going, where the... And I'm feeling through the dark, and I'm on a freeway, I realise, somewhere. I put my hand on his car, take a pee, and this blue light on the top goes, woo! And this policewoman goes, when you finish shaking that thing, your ass is going to jail. And I'm going, oh, no. So I come out of jail at 6 a.m. after being in his cell with two African-American guys all night and eating peanuts and peanut butter sandwiches and shit coffee. And there's Tommy Lee on his tour bus outside with all these, I can see him in my mind's eye now, all these sets of bras and panties and in their bus and chicks in. I go, go away, you know. It was just wild, man.
I can imagine.
I don't think there's going to be a repeat because we all change. I mean, Nicky lives very close to me, and he doesn't drink or get. I don't drink or get loaded anymore.
Well, so it's going to be a whole new experience for you guys. You'll probably be able to enjoy it a lot more, I would imagine.
The alcohol and drugs were after the show. We didn't go and get stoned on the stage much. At least I didn't.
No, but I mean,
but afterwards, it was all balls to the wall. You know, I mean, them guys like to party, you know.
They certainly did. But this time around, you got a bunch of newer bands as well, too. You know, like in Ozfest Past, not only do you got yourself and Motley, you've also got Rob Halford and his solo band on there,
Rob's
too.
A great, great singer. I wish his new project all the success he can get.
But you've
he's
also,
a great, he's a great friend of mine, Rob. He's a good guy. I mean, he's not that great, but he's a pretty close friend.
He's been a visitor over here, too. There was a very famous story about when he came in here the last time. He tripped over a wire, and he knocked us all out for about an hour. We didn't have any sound, any video or anything. He tripped over one of these wires over here. But
he's,
he was cool.
He's got a powerful voice. I mean, there was a time when Sabbath were going to do a slot on one of my concerts in California years ago, and Ronnie couldn't make it for whatever reason, and so Rob stood in for him, and he did a great, great job. Got a great voice, Robert.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, he's the metal god, as they call him, you know.
Although
I would imagine you could kind of argue with him a little bit about that.
I mean, Rob's from the same town, from the same country. What am I going to say?
he's talking
about Ronnie. It wasn't that sad that he passed.
Oh my God, that was the saddest.
You know, people, doing radio interviews, and people go, well, so will the Serbs be getting back together? You know, it's a very good possibility, but it's nothing to take from the fact that Ronnie was a great singer, and we sadly missed. And when we found out he was suffering from cancer, like when Sharon got diagnosed with colon cancer a few years ago, we didn't know what to do. So I said to my wife, I said, we got to contact them. And I just sent a message, and I said, if anything we can do, because we know some people that can help and whatever, just call us. And then I met Vinny and one of them rock and roll black carpet deals. And I told Vinny, and the next thing I know, he passed away. But you know what sucked, you know? You know, at the funeral, did you see that at the funeral?
I was there.
When the people, the religious freaks were...
Yeah, down at the bottom.
I mean, you ask me, if they say we're satanic, what the fuck is that all about?
Exactly.
Know?
Exactly. Well, you know what? Luckily for us and the people that attended the funeral, they really weren't there for very long. I was really proud of
them. Yeah, but the fact that they were there in the first place.
Exactly.
But, I mean, come on, man.
I know.
And Phil Ronnie wasn't there to defend himself. And I said, whatever the thing about me, if I'd have been there, I'd have said fucking, you know, something. And I was told I couldn't go to the police protecting them, freedom of speech.
Yeah, no, that's the saddest part.
I would have said some fucking thing. I would have had to.
Well, you still
but,
can.
I mean, I didn't go to the funeral, not because I didn't want to, because I didn't think it was the right thing to do, you know. Yeah.
Well, it was a very sad affair. Because there was so much love in the room that was there that
everybody
day.
Everybody thinks that me and Ronnie Dames were at war.
No.
I mean, I suppose I was a bit pissed off 30 years ago when I got booted out of the band and he replaced me. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, what the fuck have I got to be pissed off with Ronnie Dames?
Exactly.
He was a great singer. He was a great talent. I mean, there's so many singers out there owe their career to him and his style.
But even bigger, even just a nice guy. He always treated you like you were the biggest thing in the room whenever he talked to you, and that's what
I mean, he was one of the guys, you know?
Yes, certainly was.
One of the warriors.
Certainly was, and a funny guy, too.
I never really hung out. I've met him a bunch of times, but I didn't really hang out with him because he wasn't the right thing to do.
I definitely had the pleasure to hang out with him, and I know that he touched your bandmates a lot, too. He was very close with Tony and with Geezer.
With them longer than I was.
Really?
I mean, I was only with them for 10 years.
Yeah.
He had 12 years. He was with them for like 30 years.
Well, come to think of it, yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right about that. Now, did you touch on any of that for a particular part? I've read about a quarter so far of your book, I Am Ozzy. I've gotten to the point right now, right where you guys have gotten to the point where you started to change your name to Black Sabbath. So I haven't gotten up to that part.
I mean, you know what? The early stages of any musical project that I've been on has been the best because you've got everything to gain and nothing to lose. Because, you know, if you shit or bust, if you make it, you do. If you don't, I mean, Black Sabbath was the greatest thing that ever happened to me.
Absolutely.
In my life, because we weren't like some band that was some business mogul from London or someone who said, oh no, a guitar player from Birmingham, a singer from Manchester.
Right.
And we were four guys. I went to the same school as Tony, although we never hung out much.
In Aston.
An idea. I've said this a lot. Since leaving Black Sabbath, I've played those Black Sabbath songs with some great bands, some great musicians, but there ain't nobody plays it like the four of us. No. It's just a spirit, it's just a vibe.
Yeah.
I mean, I know when it's good, bad, or not so good, or whatever, and I don't have to turn around, you know. I mean, Tony Iommi is the greatest riff man of all time.
Yeah.
I think he's right up there with all the greats, you know.
Sure. And he's got his own sound, and nobody can recreate that.
You know what's awesome? I've often said to him, how the fuck can you know where your fingers are? He plays with prosthetic fingers.
Right. It's got the ends of it chopped up.
He's one of these guys that you give him any instrument, you know. He won't, in a few days, he'll have something come out of it. Mm-hmm. He might be the greatest, but he's one of these guys that goes, oh, I'm going to play that.
You mentioned in the book that you would notice that, like, when the first time that you saw him, when you were in school, that you noticed that this guy really had, you know, more talent than anybody else around.
Tony Iommi was, get on the air. Fuck off. Get on the air.
Oh, okay. So anyway, they had, you noticed that when he was young, that he had an enormous amount of talent.
He used to come to school with his guitar, and he'd play it. No, the teachers would get pissed off.
Really?
I wasn't that interested in being in a band at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was like so sunk into the Beatles and
absolutely.
The whole. It wasn't the fact that people say, "How can you get from the Beatles to the Black Sabbath?" And it was just the magic. I thought that's my way out. You know,
mm-hmm.
The best thing I ever bought from my father was a PA system. It got me gigs because if you put on your advert in the shop. Ozzy Osbourne. I had an advert going. I changed my name from Osbourne to Zig. Ozzy Zig needs gig.
Mm-hmm.
I got my own PA, and people started coming around to my house.
It's funny, start knocking right on the door and answering. Yeah, it's me. I'm Ozzy Zig. And look where we are now, man.
I mean, it's been a great journey, man.
Yeah, it's been amazing too.
There was Randy Rhoads.
Who knew that? Well, absolutely. You know that's basically what did it all. What got you in the solo?
I mean, Randy was somebody so special, somebody so special.
Mm-hmm. Now, how did you find Randy?
Well, a guy called Dana Strummer used to be the bass player with Slaughter.
Right.
He was my first choice as a bass player, but then it didn't work out between me and him. But he introduced me to Randy, mm-hmm. which I'm forever indebted to him for. Because
mm-hmm.
Randy was one of the best things that ever happened. It would be Sabbath. They would go, we'd all get a few beers, a few whatever, smoke this and whatever. And then we just jam, and I'd put my vocals on their riffs and things. But Randy was one, he come from his mother's teaching school, and he used to be had a bit of a teaching vibe.
Right.
And so he would say, no, it would be better if you sang it in this key. And so I thought, wow, he's working with me. I mean, so, and, but I've never learned to play an instrument. And a few people have said, you know, if you do learn to play an instrument, you'll probably lose what you have.
Well, Randy, though, he was more, like I said, he was a teacher.
Yeah.
And he was constantly working on his guitar and basically
on the night before he passed, got killed,
uh-huh.
We were in Knoxville, Tennessee, and I can forever see him in this. I have a photograph of it somewhere. He was wanting to get classical. He wanted to be classically trained.
Right.
And every day off, on that, which weren't very many, we do like double back to back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he would have a classical lesson in his room. I go, why do you take a fucking day off and get to have a few beers? And but he was just a dedicated guy, you know.
Absolutely. A profound influence on you for.
He was. For I mean, those first two albums were special with him.
Absolutely, I got to see that tour. It was the first show on the second half of your first tour. I saw it in New Haven, Connecticut, and Def Leppard was the opening.
Yeah.
So I went. I got to see you guys do that, and I got to see Black Sabbath in 1976,
wow.
which was kind of cool for me. I remember that story simply because. I've told this story on the air before. I was in trouble that day. I was a teenager, and my mom had locked me in and told me to stay in the house. And I wanted to go to the show. I had tickets for the show, and I jumped off the roof into my brother's car. Went, and the last thing I remember was seeing my mom coming down the driveway and yelling at me, "Where are you going?" "I'm going to see Black Sabbath." She goes, "You're not going to go see any Black Savages." So since then, yeah. It's been like the Black Savages.
I mean, the 70s, I mean, people go, what do I think of heavy metal today?
Mm-hmm.
It's not the fact that it's heavy metal or whatever.
Right.
It's a movement we're all in. It's
exactly.
Like the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and now the new millennium. It's completely different musically.
Big time. But so much of it is based on that old, on the old Black Sabbath stuff, if you
notice.
Yeah,
but you know what? I mean, when people started to come to me at the Ozfest and go, you know, we're not worthy and all this stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. I thought they were winding me up, you know. because when we did our stuff, we never had any idea 30 years up the road people would be looking at it as being a mentor, you know. I mean, but that's the way it turned out. And I'm not putting it down. I mean, it was great, you know. I mean,
well, your life has been so much like that. There's been so many things that have completely must have blown your mind the way that they've happened and have gotten
but
so
you know
big.
What, you know, the weirdest thing, that when you reach 60, the word retirement comes in. And I go,
right.
Okay, I'm an artist. If I was a painting artist, would you say stop painting masters now?
No.
60? So, fuck them.
You're gonna keep singing?
I want to die up there. I do.
On the stage.
I'm sold it, man. I'm out there.
That would be a fitting. That would be a fitting way to go.
I don't want
to see that.
I mean, we're all getting a bit older now. I mean, but
right.
I mean, I don't feel that I want to retire. I mean, I always said that if no one wants to listen to me, if I can't do it, and nobody turns up, I've got to be a dummy to carry on anyway. But what am I going to do? Sit down. Remember when I was in rock and roll, you know?
Now tell me something. Did you feel that way when you were fired from Black Sabbath the first time and then Sharon kind of...
I mean, Black Sabbath was the first big break I ever had in my life. And
right.
Then when I got fired from Sabbath, I thought I was just a singer with a band. I didn't think I had anything to happen. I didn't think anyone was interested. And then when Sharon came around to the Park Hotel on West Nile, I never went out for weeks, months. Just stayed in my room, getting drunk and doing things I shouldn't.
Right.
And just leave it. I never opened the drapes for 3 months. And she said, if you clean yourself up, we want to manage you. And I went, what? Then I met Dana, then I met Randy, and then it went on from there, you know.
So, but she saw something. She saw something worth saving.
Well, she was telling me that a lot of people were... I had no idea because, you know, I used to just do my thing, you know. I didn't... In Black Sabbath... I mean, we were all starved from the truth anyway by the management who was ripping us off. I mean, you know, so we never thought we were any good, any popular. We knew we'd sell a few things out, a lot of California Jam and all them things, but we never realized how big we really were.
Well, it's turned out that way, my friend. Believe me, it's
but
the
it,
top
it,
of
it. It's like, I remember being at Le Parc Hotel, and I peeped to the, I wonder, it's about 7 in the evening, I can hear Iron Man, I'm going, what the fuck is going on here? And a guy comes across the room, was playing it on his record player.
And he went, that's me.
No, I just went, you know, wow. People really play our records.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of records, man, we got this brand new one right here, and it's called Scream.
The first track.
Let me hear you scream.
No, the first track.
Let It Die.
Yeah.
Let It Die. Tell us about that track.
It's kind of a twist on. Well, it's like I'm everything, you are me, I am you.
Okay.
It's it's just a play on words. I like playing around with words, you know. Uh-huh. I'm a rock star, I'm a leader, I'm a soldier, I'm a, you know, it's just opposites. Very interesting.
We're going to let the listeners listen to it. We're going to take a little break and come back with Mr. Ozzy Osbourne himself. Relax and sit there for a bit. Have a drink over there. We're going to answer some questions from the chat room over here, too. We've got our KNAC.com chat room over here at the same sort of time.
Let's answer some questions next.
Sure, let's do that. So first off, let's play this track. It's the lead-off track for Ozzy Osbourne's Scream, the brand-new CD. I hope you got it. It's on Epic Records. You can get it over here in the KNAC.com More store. So crank this up right now. We'll be back with the one and only Ozzy Osbourne in just a moment. Crank it's KNAC.com, theloudest.com on the planet. It's KNAC.com, theloudest.com on the planet. From the brand new Ozzy Osbourne CD, that's Let It Die. Nice work, my friend.
Thank you.
Very well done. I want people to go out and get this CD. I want people to go to Ozfest. Now, there's a website, ozfest.com, where people can find out more information about it, but it's a great big lineup. I want them to get the book, you know? I Am Ozzy. It's a terrific read. Like I said, I've started reading it maybe
A
week ago.
Heavy metal icon made number 2 in the bestseller.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Excellent.
It's a lot of fun. It's not all sex, drugs, and rock and roll. There's a lot of humor in the book, you know.
It does too, and it's written in your language, which I really like, you know.
Yeah,
it's in the Birmingham speak, so to speak, you know. And I really enjoyed that because I'm learning a lot of new terms, you know, and how to speak to somebody from there. So the next time I see you, maybe I'll have a couple of the
all right,
and all the rest of that sort of stuff, you know. I can around the pub, I'll go down the pub and all the rest of the other things too, you know. So
let's answer a couple of questions.
Okay, let's do that. We got the KNAC.com chat room over here, and I got a bunch of people. Somebody wanted to know what your favorite tour memories when Black Sabbath was touring in the 70s. You know, pick one. Somebody wanted to know what was one of your favorite tour memories when Black Sabbath was touring in the 70s? Somebody wanted to know that.
I remember the first... Is that what's one of my favorite Black Sabbath
memories of touring in the 70s?
I remember Bill Ward, the first time we were going on Concord for the very first time, and he came... He used to drink cider. But cider in England is like a real... Like a bum's drink, really. It's a really cheap way of getting loaded. And he came to the plane with two plastic bags with cider. And I said, what are you doing? He said, I don't have this on the plane. So he got on the plane drinking cider all the way over. And it's Mach 2.2 speed.
And he enjoyed himself on the Concord.
We were pirates in those days. So many memories, anyway, for Sabbath.
Somebody else wants to know about your other guitar players. Obviously, you keep in touch with Zach. Zach is here. They want to know if you keep in touch with Joe Holmes and any of the other ex-guitar players that you played with.
I haven't seen Jakey Lee or spoken to him since the day he left.
Yeah, Jakey Lee.
And it wasn't my fault they left. The other two... plotted against him and turned me against him. It was a long time ago anyway. Joe Holmes, when I did that thing on Sunset last year, what was that? You know, that closed Sunset down for...
Yeah, the Sunset Music Festival.
Joe Holmes was there. And he's got married. He's got a baby.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if he's a baby now, but he's a good... All right, he's friendly.
That was a lot of fun watching you play out in the middle of Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah, fine. That was good fun, yeah.
And that was the first time that we got to see Gus G with you, too, which was awesome.
Yeah, Gus, I mean, all I hope, you know, I've said it before, Just give him a chance. He's a good little player.
He's a damn good player. And like I said, Firewind, his band, has been a part of KNAC for a long time. So our own DJ Will wants to know, you co-produced with Kevin Churko. What did you each contribute beyond the songwriting?
Well, Kevin, I mean, I'm not one of these guys that can rot in a studio. He's one of these techno guys that, not techno, he's one of these guys who's got the patience of old Nick. He'll sit there with a cymbal sound for 4 days and get the right sound. But I'm not one of them guys. I mean, he's a very good guy at working these computer things. Oh, I'm computer. I just bought a laptop, believe it or not, and an iPad. And all that pid, whatever the fuck it's all about now. I'm going to try and learn a bit, but I mean, I can't work the studio at the desk like he can.
Right.
And he's good at his help. Yeah, I mean, I need someone to bounce off anyway. I don't play an instrument, so I can bounce off people, you know.
One last question I have for you is, what's going to be next for Ozzy after Ozfest and the book?
Well, they're making a movie at the book.
I've been told about that. Can you talk at all about that? About that?
That people are asking me, who would I like to play me?
I'll do it.
Denzel Washington, I think.
Denzel Washington would be perfect. I was thinking, you know?
I don't know. I haven't got that much to do with it. My wife's dealing all with that. It'll be done eventually, if it's going to get done as well. But there's that. There's another, possibly another book. I don't know when or what. I'm probably gonna call it I Am Still Ozzy.
I'm still Ozzy and I'm still alive.
I'm gonna do another album, of course, and just touring. I'm going on a year and a half tour, and it's very, very possible that the original Sabbath are gonna finally do the ultimate Sabbath album.
That would be wonderful.
And we're gonna do a tour, I think. When, I don't know. I mean, I spoke to Bill Ward yesterday, and we both say we never say never anymore.
That's good. That's good. That's always been my motto, never say never. You know? A lot of people say, you're never going to get to meet Ozzy. Look at this. I'm meeting Ozzy right now. I'm very happy.
So at least you're not going to get out of here.
Okay, my friend. We're going to play one more track off the CD at your choice. Absolutely. Anyone that you want. Would you like to hear the Let Me Hear You Scream or any of the other ones?
Digging Me Down.
Digging Me Down. Tell us about that track, too. It's got something
digging
to do...
It's not an anti-Christ thing. What it is about is, like, let's say the guy's going to come back to this place and save us all.
Resurrect.
But I'm like going, well, how bad's it got to get before this guy comes back? And if he comes back, will we believe him?
That's as good as any reason to write a song about, I would imagine, too, because it's been a question with everybody else for millions of years, I would imagine. So... well done. Ozzy, I can't thank you enough for coming down here.
My pleasure.
Studio.
I've got to come back again one time.
Absolutely. You are always welcome. The door is always open for you, my friend.
Okay,
believe
man.
Me. Do that.
Take
it's care. KNAC.com, theloudest.com on the planet. Brand new.
See you at Ozfest, guys.
Be at Ozfest. Ozzy will be there, too.